Morning, once again. My presentation will briefly take you through the concept of group or cluster certification, the likely benefits, and how we should use it for training, setting up and training future clusters. The presentation is prepared considering the objectives of the training broadly. What we would like at the end of the training program is for all the participants to get an understanding of what is a cluster, what is cluster certification, how to set up clusters, how to operate clusters, or in other words, how to make them functional, and how to prepare the clusters for participation in cluster certification programs of their choice. That's what I mean. Like in the project example, we are using the Thailand GAP, but we could envisage a situation where clusters could be working with other certification programs as well, group certification programs. As many of you may know, that certification is presently seen as a tool by the consumers, by the importers, by the traders, mainly to ensure compliance by the primary producers to responsible farming practices. So if you ask the question, what is responsible aquaculture? It would be, in simple terms, compliance to both mandatory standards as well as voluntary standards. So if the farming community is able to comply to these two categories of standards, then I think largely we are progressing towards responsible aquaculture. And if you look at broadly, the mandatory and voluntary standards, they cover almost all the important things like food safety, environmental issues, social, ethical issues, legal, animal health, welfare. So most of this would be covered under either mandatory or voluntary standards. If you look at the broad definition of certification, it's just a procedure by which a certification body gives a return or an equivalent assurance that the product or the process or the service conforms to specified technical requirements and standards. But what is very important, especially after the FAO Global Aquaculture Certification Guidelines, is that three different entities have been very clearly sort of identified. Standards and standard setting body, it must be an independent unit. Next is the certification body, which is competent and recognized, and that conducts the certification, or what we call the conformity assessment. And the last one is an accreditation body, which accredits the certification body, says that, okay, the certification body has all the credentials to carry out the certification. So I think what's becoming increasingly clear is, for a robust certification program, three independent entities doing three different duties and responsibilities, but working in a structured manner so that the product is, or the process is, recognized as a good process. We just touched upon this, the FAO guidelines. If you look at the four substantive criteria which FAO considers as useful to be included in all certification programs, is mainly food safety, that's consumer protection, animal health and welfare, environmental integrity, and social responsibility. So any certification program which covers these areas is useful. Yeah. If you look at the certification schemes, there are plenty. Some are governmental certification programs, some are private certification programs, and even there are others like NGO-driven certification programs. There are plenty in the market now. At the same time, there are a lot of concerns by the primary producers and the industry, some of which are the cost-benefit value is still not clear. There is confusion in the minds of producers and consumers. There is more sort of calls for improved harmonization and mutual recognition and equivalence, because there are so many certification schemes in the market. There are several issues for small-scale farmers with respect to certification. The many issues facing the small farmers, we will not go into the details of this, but just let us look into just the cost part of it. I think this is one which is very important, the cost of certification. If you look at the cost of compliance, you can divide it into several categories, but broadly speaking, just the changes that you may have to do in relation to the physical facilities to comply with the standards, like what we are talking now, the sedimentation issues, effluent treatment issues, okay? The changes needed in relation to the management practices, again, it's additional cost. Then many of the farmers would require some sort of service provided to them if they have to really comply. Because if you look at some of the standards which are there in the market, it tells, okay, the farms must have a health management plan. But many of the small-scale farmers will not be able to put up a health management plan without technical assistance from some health professionals. So like this, there are so many things for which farmers have to spend money exclusively towards the compliance, okay? In addition to that, there is the cost of certification, like the registration fee, maybe the audit fee, maybe the use of the logo fee. You know. So generally speaking, for the Asia-Pacific conditions, for the real small-scale farmers, once you have the real definition, I think individual certification would work out to be very expensive or cost-prohibitive. So if you look at the individual farmers, I think the individual certification is very difficult. So the only possibility is working towards group certification or cluster certification. And that's one of the objectives of this project as well. So the moment we talk about group certification or cluster approach, it's in simple a collective approach where farmers collectively participate in the process and then manage their production systems with the main objective of minimizing the risk and maximizing the returns. You know. So that's the basic principle of a group approach or a collective approach. And there can be different drivers. It can be for disease management, it can be for accessing certification, it can be for accessing markets, it can be for accessing quality inputs. But groups can have different drivers, but ultimately it's minimizing the overall risk and maximizing the returns as a group. If you look at the definition or the description of group certification, it's primarily intended for group of farmers, normally considered small, for whom individual certification is expensive, but as a group, they have several characteristics in common. Maybe common marketing of their produce as a group, maybe the homogeneity of members in terms of location and use of the resources like water, common canal or common resource, species culture, sort of a similarity in the production system, the products. So this is what would, you know, minimum requirement for to participate. So when farmers come together as group and work towards group certification, it's easy to achieve the economy of scale in terms of maybe the volume. It can reduce the cost and efforts of certification because you will be paying for only one group certification, not for all the members in the group. And it will enable small farmers who otherwise cannot to participate in this third party or other certification programs. I'll not go much into the details of the definition of cluster. I think when Dr. Siri and others are going to make the presentations based on the present project, they will give you more information about how the clusters were set up and how they were made operational. But in simple, it's interdependent. In case of the India example, it's interdependent shrimp ponds located in the same area, dependent on a single water source, sharing common resources, you know, having forming the same species and coming together for the purpose of either disease management or marketing. Or again, the characteristics of groups, again, I don't want to go into the details, but the important things are the participatory approach, the common goal, and using sort of a democratic consultative process, you know, for deciding the functions and activities of clusters. Okay, now coming to cluster certification, two things are very important. If cluster certification has to become a reality, the first thing is we should have functional clusters. And once that is there, then the second stage would be sort of implementing a cluster certification program depending on the interest of that particular cluster. So this functional cluster is the basic requirement. So I'll very quickly take you through the different steps in setting up and operating clusters based on the India experience. So some of the steps which is being used in India, where presently around 750 clusters are operating. This is the sort of the first step, normally done by the mainline departments, like selecting and identifying a group of farmers and mapping the pond in that particular area. Then facilitating some sort of informal and formal meetings with farmers and getting sort of an agreement as to whether the farmers are interested to come together and work. Then developing what we call the standard operating procedures or the group rules for the group, which is sort of an abiding agreement. When the group decides to work together, then they have an agreement, okay, all the members are willing to come and attend the meetings, do this, do that, so they sign, and it becomes an abiding agreement for all the members of the group. Then once the group is willing to, members are willing to come together as a group, develop the rules and regulations, they even establish what we call functional entities and formalize the process through registrations to meet all the national government requirements. So they become a legal entity. It becomes, it gets a legal status. It gets registered as a group. You know. This is just the schematic representation of how clusters or groups are formed in India, the various sort of procedures, finally getting registered with the national authorities and all that. You know. This is the sort of functional entities within the group, like the president, secretary, executive committee with different responsibilities. And the next important step which many groups do is developing agreements between the group and other stakeholders. That's either the input suppliers or the processors. And we think this is a very important step which helps sort of supply chain integration. And they can source good quality material, thereby reduce the cost, and also enter into agreements with the buyers so that they can coordinate their harvests and other processes. This contributes to significant reduction in the cost, because as a group they source from single hatcheries, so the testing fees and all that comes down dramatically, the screening, disease testing fees and other things. You know. And once all this is set up, the question is operating the clusters, that is implementing the SOPs, implementing the better management practices, and implementing the traceability or whatever systems they've agreed under the SOPs. So this is the critical thing, so that the clusters can be said to be operating or functional. Like, for example, in this case, the group commonly deciding the crop planning, developing a crop plan, commonly working towards pond preparation, sourcing of seed, sourcing of feed and feed other products, marketing. So it's all done for the group together instead of for individual members. So that's the functional clusters. If the clusters are interested to participate in a cluster or group certification program, again, I'll just briefly run through the next steps, again, which were implemented in India for some of the clusters, very similar to the four clusters set up under the FAO-TCP project here. So again, the key steps. The first one is for all the members and the group as a whole to understand the concept of the cluster certification. This is where training and capacity building of the members is normally carried out. Second one is identifying the certification program in which the group wants to participate. And this will be purely based on either the processors or the market links they've established or the exporter, you know. For example, it can be Thai. In this case, Thai, GAP or ACC or AAC, depends which one they choose. Once the certification program is identified, the next important thing is to really understand the standards, the indicators, the criteria of the one which they choose. And it's not easy. This is where, again, training programs will help. like as we were discussing earlier, most of the standards will revolve around these major elements like animal health, animal welfare, food safety, social and environmental issues. So the clusters must understand the standards and the requirements in relation to all this minimum substantive criteria. And then each of the clusters need to do what we call a simple gap analysis of the existing systems of the members and what improvements or what changes have to be made. This is again a very difficult task. Depending on the certification program they have chosen, and once they understand the standards, if they want, what is the deficiency and how should we address the deficiency as a group? And then, as necessary, carry out the required changes, either with respect to the traceability system or with respect to the practices or with respect to the SOPs or whatever. The most important one for the cluster to work, on which Dr. Siri and others will detail, is the internal control system. So the quality of how the cluster is working is managed and controlled by the internal control system. So this is very, very important. Anyway, I'll not go into the details of the internal control system because a lot of documents in Thai provided on the internal control system and how it works. Okay, normally, there'll be a lot of committee members with each roles and responsibilities, but ultimately trying to get the cluster function as required to comply with the standards of the chosen certification program. Yeah. An internal audit is one of the key steps in the functioning of the internal control system. So the internal audit verifies that all the members are complying to the standards of the chosen certification program, so that when the external auditor comes, he will not audit all the members, but he will primarily look into the efficiency of the working of the internal control system and the internal audit reports. And if they wish, they may examine a small proportion of the farmers from the cluster. That's where the cost saving also comes for the cluster certification. So ICS training is a very important component for the clusters. You know, the cluster ICS team has to be trained well in all their functions and duties. The external inspection or audit, I think more about that Dr. Ampuchini will be telling you how the cluster external inspection auditing procedures are done and how it's different from external audit for individual certification. But when the external auditor comes, the cluster and the ICS team must be able to abide by all the requirements. They must be able to provide all the necessary documents, the arrangements, so that the external auditors can audit the cluster and the ICS documents on behalf of the members. And finally, it will be sort of the outcomes. If you look at this present project, all the four clusters are likely to be subject to external audit during the coming 15 days to 1 month, and we will know whether the four clusters will get cluster certification or not. So this is the last sort of step. So to conclude, for small farmers, definitely cluster certification is one of the ways forward. So organization is very important. They have to be properly organized. And they must be able to function properly as a cluster that is implementing the SOPs, BMPs and all that. And for certification, if they're interested, they must make sure that they're able to set up and implement an effective ICS. This is the one which I would like to draw your attention. This is just the one of the group outputs where a group has come together, worked as a cluster, and able to market their shrimp through a special branding program. You know, it's gone up to Marks and Spencer. It's a project in Thailand implemented by various partners, where a small group is working towards producing shrimp to high standards. It's not certified, but it's compliant to many requirements, Thai GAP plus additional requirements. Okay. The project staff working for that is here with us. One Nantana is there. If anyone is interested, they could discuss with her as well.